In chapter number 1, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and I'd like to read a few verses here, and I'll give you a bit of review and then catch up here with our Bible study for tonight. We were out of town last week for the Pastors and Workers Conference. Brother Sammy Slatter did a great job preaching that night. That was a blessing. We'll continue here. It says in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 3, the Apostle Paul, through inspiration of God, is writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. In verse 3, it says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And the Apostle Paul is challenging his son Timothy in the faith as he leaves him at Ephesus to pastor and lead that church, to stay true to the doctrine of the Lord and to teach no other doctrine. He's going to give much Bible teaching through this book here, and we want to look at this tonight. So it's a challenge about continuing in the faith, staying true to the doctrine of God and not falling to false doctrines. In verse 4 through 7, we're going to see a number of false doctrines, and I'll give you a bit of recap, and I'll try not to preach through the text reading too much, but let's get to verse number 4. It says, neither, and these are some of the false doctrines and teachers, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Why don't we pray as we get to open the scriptures and pray that God will bless the message tonight. We thank you, Lord, for this night. Please bless this time as we get to open up your word, that, Lord, you would give me clarity. Lord, please speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, please convict and challenge us in the need tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word doctrine is used 5 times here in this book and about keeping the sound doctrine. Paul, in the first few verses, talked about his calling from the Lord, and Paul talked about he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, that he was saved, he was called by God, had a plan from God in his life, and that God wants all to be saved, and he has a plan for each and every person's life to be in the will of God for your life. I pray that's the desire. First of all, pray that you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Most important need that anyone has is the need of salvation. But then that you would know God's will and God's plan for your life, and then not just to know it, but that you would do it. That you would know and do the will of God for your life. And the Apostle Paul talked about that in verse number 1. Talks about Jesus Christ, which is our hope. It was his purpose and his goal in his life to serve the Lord. He talked about his calling from God in verse 1, his companion in the ministry, verse number 2, about Timothy, his son in the faith. In verse number 3, Paul's challenge to Timothy was to teach no other doctrine, to abide in Ephesus, to charge them there and to teach no other doctrine, to stay, to charge them, and to continue in the faith and teach the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? If you get busy teaching, reading the Bible, following it, preaching the Word of God, you don't have time for false doctrine there. You got enough here to keep you busy than to get lost in other stuff. We don't know make up anything. We can keep pretty busy with what God gave us right here, don't we? In verse number 4 through 7, it talks about these teachers, as you see in verse number 7, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Again, just because someone has a pulpit or a microphone or a podcast or a following does not mean they're spiritual or teaching the truth or following God. And just because they're sincere, they can be sincerely wrong. And you better be careful who you're listening to, who you're following, because they will get you following that false doctrine if you listen to that. And these teachers, they desire to teach the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. In verse 4, we see that they're teaching fables, a myth. It's not truth. It's not from God. It's not proven. Let's just stay with the Bible. They teach fables. They teach endless genealogies, and they're following the tradition of others. And instead of staying with the tradition of God, we better not put the tradition of man over the tradition of God. I believe there's the faith of our fathers that we follow, but when the faith of our fathers is not the faith of God, well, then we should abandon the faith of our fathers and follow that faith of God and follow the Lord and the true word of God. These false teachings in verse 4, it says they minister questions. You know, what does the devil want you to get you to question everything that you believe? You know, hath God said? Isn't that what Satan said to Eve in the garden? Hath God said? He wants to get you to put a question in your mind. Well, isn't that prevalent today? Question everything you believe, and all of a sudden everything that was true is now a lie. Well, that's not the case. Again, if it's new, it's not true. If it's true, it's not new. Let's just stay with the book. Amen? But they minister questions. You know, Satan will give you questions, but God will give you answers. He'll give you questions. Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. You know, take the Bible by fact and by faith and truth and apply it to your life. But God gives us answers. In verse number 4, it says that these false teachers, they were not giving godly edifying. Verse 4, it says, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. To edify is to build up, to strengthen, to have spiritual growth. There's a lot of people, they go to church every Sunday, but there's no spiritual growth. There's not. Why? Because they're not following the truth of God's word. Maybe not saved, or maybe they're following man's teachings and not God's teaching from the word of God, not following God's word. And there's no edifying, there's no growth there. God wants us to grow in the word of God, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And the Bible says in verse 6, they turn aside to vain jangling, empty talking, it's just noise. Again, there's a lot of people that do a lot of talking, but not enough listening. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? You're thinking of someone, aren't you? But a lot of talking, and it's just noise. But it's not coming from God. And some have swerved, they've turned aside. They've left the truth, the straight path that comes from the Word of God, and they followed that vain jangling, and they're following false teachers and cults and things all around. Even saved people that have been trained and know the Word of God, and someone gets their ear, someone gets their attention, you start following someone. You better be so careful today. There's so much of the following today where it doesn't have to be someone you spend time with. You tune in and listen to them. You better know who you're listening to, what they believe. What Bible are they teaching from? What salvation are they preaching? Who are they? Where do they come from? You say, I don't know. Don't listen to them then. Don't listen to them. They have a lot of good things they say, but they might have some bad things that point you away from the Lord. Better be careful. This all ties into the message tonight. Some takeaway from that was identify false doctrine. Avoid that false doctrine. And how do you do that? You've got to know your Bible. If you know your Bible, then you can point out the false doctrine from a mile away. Know what that one is. Heard that before. Verse number 5, we're going to come back to this verse. It was tucked in the middle of all the verses about false teachings and false doctrines. And we have a verse here that talks about the right kind of faith, the Bible and sound doctrine that we need to have. And we'll stick with verse number 5. We won't usually teach just one verse, but tonight we will. It says this, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. In the middle of these verses about all the false doctrines that we talked about and their false teachings is this commandment that comes from God is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. You know that you can find a whole lot of bad in the world. You don't have to look far. You don't have to look far for wickedness and false teaching. It's out there all the way. But the Bible says those that want to know the truth, you find the truth and the truth will set you free. And there's a lot of false doctrine out there, but there is the truth out there as well. And you look around, you think about it, there's a lot of bad food out there, unhealthy, so to say. Why does the unhealthy food taste so good? Amen, right? I mean, you're like, it's not good for you, but man, it tastes good. It's got to be good for you. And there's some healthy food, and you can make healthy food taste good. My grandmother was a healthy cook and a good cook. You know the difference, right? You have those that cook healthy food, but it does not taste good, and you're like, I can't eat it. And there's those that can cook the healthy food and it tastes good. You know, she put the spinach in the lasagna and preserved everything and all that. And you can find a lot of bad, unhealthy food out there, but you can find the good food. Well, you know which one is better for you. But again, why do we, the sin nature, I think that's what it is. The sin nature points you to the ice cream and the cookies and the stuff you probably shouldn't be eating. I'm hungry, so I better get past this point tonight. I even ate something before church tonight, and I don't know why. Anyway, here's the thing, though. Everyone has a choice. You have a choice. Am I gonna choose the healthy food or the unhealthy food? You have a choice. If I'm going to choose the sound doctrine that comes from God to follow, or the false doctrine that you're going to follow as well. The Bible says that God gives us a commandment. It says, now the end of the commandment is this, and they'll give you a list, that God gives a commandment of what He commands from a Christian and what He's looking for when He comes as well. Turn over to 1 Corinthians for a moment. In chapter number 3, a few books back to 1 Corinthians, God gives us a commandment of what He's looking for from our lives. God has saved you not to sit, but He saved you to serve. God wants something from your life, not to go to heaven, but so that you would please the Lord, but that God also wants to reward you in your life. And there's some things that God is looking for. And in 1 Corinthians 3:12, it says this, now if any man build upon this foundation, upon Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, that's what God is looking for. The other options is wood, hay, and stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, brought to light. For the day shall declare it, the judgment seat of Christ, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. God is the judge, first of all. God's the judge. He'll judge the works of mankind. What about this person? Let God be the judge of that, right? Let God be the judge in that area. Now, we should judge what's right and wrong, what we follow, of course, but God is going to judge our works. And we'll get to this, the works of a Christian, what God is looking for, whether it be gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. And it's going to be tried by fire. Now that wood, hay, and stubble, you think that's going to last the fire, or is it going to get burned up? You go to start a fire and you throw some pine needles on there, some hay on there, you better not lean over it because you're going to poof and your eyebrows are gone because that it's going to be consumed in the fire, but that gold, silver, precious stone will last. And God will judge those in that day, but He'll reward those for the works that they do that last through the fire and that judgment of the Lord. See, there's things that God is looking for, that God is commanding, but that God is looking for and that God will reward. Let me give you 3 points tonight from this verse that what God is looking for. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, please, and we'll again continue in verse number 5 and stay there. Some would say, does it really matter why you do what you do? I mean, does it really matter what church you go to, and does it matter what you wear and what you listen to and what kind of spirit you have? Does it matter why you do what you do? The answer is yes. It does. God's going to try your work. So these things are things that may not be seen specifically, but the inward part of man that God is looking for. In verse 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. Charity out of a pure heart. A pure love. God is looking for a pure heart and a pure love. This love is an agape love. It's the highest form of love. It's representing unconditional, selfless, and sacrificial love. It's a picture of God's love that He gave His life for us, expecting nothing in return. See, many times we have that selfish love that we give only if you give back to me. I'll give if you give back, or I'll give as long as you don't cross this line. But this agape love, this pure love, expecting nothing in return, it's a picture of God's love and sacrifice that He gives to us. This is a pure love. It's clean. It's free from every mixture of what is false, of wickedness or hypocrisy or wrong in our lives. Have you ever met someone that is serving the Lord for all the wrong reasons? Right? They're in church for the wrong reasons. They're serving the Lord for the wrong reasons. And you know what? That's going to be seen. That kind of Christianity doesn't last very long. It doesn't last long. But that pure love, that pure heart that God is looking for, some are serving the Lord for only what they get out of it. The agape love is what is sacrificial and giving, expecting nothing in return. But that agape love is giving. Some are serving the Lord only what they get out of it. Only if I get thanked. You ever served the Lord and not been thanked for it? Right? It's just me, maybe? All right. But man, you prayed and you served or you helped someone and you went overboard loving them, caring for them, showing them the love of God. And all the kids went out of class and they complained about the prizes that you gave them. They fought on the way out of class. There was no thank you. There was yelling and screaming, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you think, why am I even teaching the class? No one even cares. It's for God. It's for God. They didn't say thank you. If you only serve God every time you got a thank you, you wouldn't be here tonight. Now, you come on a Wednesday night. You're not coming, you know, maybe you're coming for the gold star, but only if I get thanked. How about this? Only if they love me back. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to love my family, serve on a bus route, help in a class, serve in church, only when I get something back from it. Say, they didn't thank me. They didn't write me a note. They didn't recognize me. Some that are serving God only looking for a following or a position. You know, I have the title. You know what? The title is only exciting for about this long. You notice that? I got the title of bus captain. Yeah, when it's 110 degrees out, how exciting is that title? Not very exciting anymore, is it, gentlemen, ladies on the buses? Not very exciting. But the Bible says the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. See, the test of time will show if you're serving God from a pure heart. That doesn't mean God doesn't move people or put them in a different position or health changes things at times. But when you serve God out of a pure heart, you're serving God first of all and then serving others because God has placed you there. 2 Timothy 2:22, I looked in the lights, now I can't see anymore. It says, Paul gave the challenge to Timothy in the next book here, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. A pure heart. Serving the Lord from a pure heart. You ever, you know, I think it's a Southern expression, you know, well, bless their heart. I can't even fake the Southern expression. That's how Californian I am. You know, they have a good heart. You know, they had a good heart. They meant good. That doesn't always mean they did the right thing, but they meant good out of it. But them that call on the Lord from a pure heart. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. A pure heart, loving God, first of all. That's why you serve God. The commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's the reason why you do anything in your life. You love the God that died to pay for your sins, that kept your soul out of hell and has a place in heaven for you, put you in the will of God for your life, given His word to you, blessed your life. Why could we not love and serve God with our lives after that? Amen. A pure heart. When you realize it's for God, it doesn't matter what people do or don't do. It's for God. They didn't see me. God did. They didn't recognize me. God will. They didn't reward me. God will. So the pure heart, when you serve God for the Lord, not first of all for man, God will bless you for that. A pure heart. To love God with your heart, soul, and mind, then to love your neighbor as yourself. To love people. You know, sometimes people aren't very lovely, right? But to love people, hey, we're not lovely in the sight of God, sinners saved by grace. You know, God looked down and saw the wickedness of man, and God still loved mankind. Well, that's the love that we're supposed to show to others as well, to love the Lord, to love your neighbor. Serving the Lord should come from the heart, should come from the heart, not because you have to, because I get to serve the Lord. Serving the Lord should come from the heart. Serving the Lord should come from a heart of love. Number two, the commandment is charity of a pure heart and of a good conscience. So a pure heart and then secondly, a good conscience. The conscience is the soul as distinguishing between what is morally good and bad. I read this illustration. The IRS received an anonymous letter. "Dear IRS, I have been feeling terrible about cheating on my taxes this year. Enclosed is $500. If my conscience keeps bothering me, I'll send the rest." I don't think that's the right... This isn't the time of year to joke about IRS and taxes. We should just leave that aside and pretend April 15th is not coming. But a good conscience, that conscience that God has put in your heart, where does that conscience come from? In Romans chapter 2, you can turn there if you want to read the verses, that God's law is written in the heart of man. Saved or not, God's law is written in the heart of man. It says this, "When the Gentiles, which have not the law," Romans 2:14, "do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, or a law unto themselves, which showed the work of the law written in their hearts." You see that again. The work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. That phrase in the middle there, that the law of God is written on their hearts. That God has put in the nature of man, everyone has some sort of a conscience. Even the deepest, darkest criminals locked away that will never see the light of day or freedom again, they have some kind of conscience of good and bad, a line that they will not cross, where they say, "Well, this is my good and this is my bad," or there's some kind of conscience that God has put on their heart. Now, they may not be following all of the Word of God, but God's law is written in the heart of man to know that there is a God and that there is right and wrong. Now, whether those acknowledge the God of heaven or follow the Word of God, that God's law is written in our hearts. But then secondly, as a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in your heart, the temple of the Holy Ghost. So that's the good conscience that God has given to those that follow Him. The Holy Spirit in your heart that is convicting you when you do wrong, when no one's looking, when it's just your thoughts, when it's just your heart, when no one's around, and your conscience is pricked by the Holy Spirit that says, "Don't look at that, don't go there," and your flesh says, "Well, no one's going to find out," but your conscience is God speaking to your heart and saying, "You know better, and God will find out, and God will judge." And that conscience of the Holy Spirit living in your heart. You know this, that you have to live with your conscience. Right? Say, "No one's going to find out." There's some things in this life that no one will ever find out, the wrong that some people did. But the Bible says, God said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And that person has to pillow their head every night knowing what they did. You have to live with your conscience of what is right or wrong, of what you have done with what God has given to you. And what is God looking for? A pure heart and a good conscience. Is there anyone that's perfect? No. A good conscience comes from simply doing right, following God. There's people that you witness to them and say, "Well, I try to be a good person." I always tell them, "Thank you for trying to be a good person. We need more of that." But being good doesn't take anyone to heaven. But you know what? We could use a whole lot more people doing right. Just doing the right thing, being honest, telling the truth, go to work, care for your family, just do what's right. You know, a good conscience, when you pillow your head at night and you say, "I'm not perfect, but to the best of my knowledge and ability, I did right today." Isn't that great? To have that peaceful sleep that comes from God, from the good conscience to say, "I'm not perfect, but everything is right between my soul and the Savior." I hope and pray that you strive to have a good conscience, to follow God, to confess your sin. You say, "I failed today." Yeah, we all fail every day. Not an excuse, it's just a reality. And you stop and you confess your sin before God and say, "God, I'm sorry, forgive me for the wrong that I did. Help me to do right." And you get on your way and ask God to help you to get on that right path. And that's a good conscience. "Lord, I got it right with you. Nothing hidden, nothing between my soul and the Savior. Got it right with God the best that I could." That's a good conscience between you and the Lord. First, a pure heart. Number two, a good conscience. And number three, a sincere faith. The end of the verse here, it says, a pure heart and of good conscience and a faith unfeigned. Unfeigned. Unfeigned means this: sincere, undisguised. sincere and undisguised. Not trying to hide your faith, not playing the part of a Christian. We have too many people that are acting the part of a Christian. You know, sometimes people that they're pretending, that the worst act that you can ever make is pretending you're saved and knowing you're lost. You're only fooling yourself. What a sad place that would be to stand before the Lord and hear Him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And you say, "Well, I did all the right things." All the right things don't take you to heaven. But a faith unfeigned, knowing that you're saved, you're right with God, you're trying to follow the Lord, an unfeigned faith. You know those people that are just faithful? People that are full of faith and faithful. You know those Christians, I was thinking about it like, Lord, is there someone that just has that unfeigned faith? And there was a number of people that God put in my mind. There's no perfect people, but my mind was drawn back to Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. And the hall of faith and all the people, again, they had their faults and their sins. But I think of this, at the end of Hebrews chapter 11, it says this, of all those people of faith, of Abraham and Sarah and Moses and Isaac and others, it says this, about their faith, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They lived their life by faith. They lived by faith. Those Christians that, you know, you have the ones that they just say, you know what, God's just going to take care of it. I prayed and God's going to bring it in. And you think, man, the faith that they have, the faith. You ever seen that person that's been the undercover person, but they're really not undercover? I was thinking of Barney Fife, all right? Barney Fife, the worst undercover detective ever, right? He was always going undercover. This isn't Bible, but it's, you know, part of our Christian heritage, I think. And man, he'd put the disguise on and put the newspaper up, and you're like, you are the worst undercover detective ever. And they walk by and go, "Hi, Barn." The little kid goes, "What's Barney doing here?" And he's like, "Shh, quiet down." Not very good of a disguise. But how many times in our life as a Christian are we playing the part of a Christian, but it's a feigned, it's a secretive, a life of hypocrisy, acting, living a double life? That's not what God is looking for. The Christian life is not a game, but God is looking for real Christians and real faith. Your faith will be tested, won't it? Your faith is tested. Trials come your way and difficulties, and maybe God's call on your life that tests your faith to step out by faith to Him. God's going to test your faith to see if it's real or if it's fake. Is it real or is it phony? Is it an act, or do you really step out by faith? I believe that the trials of life really prove our faith. Right? Doesn't mean that your faith doesn't ever get shaken or you struggle or maybe say, "God, why?" But you get back on track. But when you go through those trials in life and God tests your faith, and your faith carries you through the trial, you say, "God, I'm going to stay faithful in church. God, I'm going to stay faithful to your word. I'm going to stay faithful to you in prayer. I'm going to bring this need before you that maybe no one else knows about. And I'm just going to trust you, God, that you're going to carry me through, knowing that God is real." Right? That God is real. That God's word works. Amen? And that, you know, you say, "Well, I'm going through this in life, and I know what the Bible says, but what do I do?" You, by faith, follow the word of God. You just follow it. You say, "But if I follow God's word, what's going to happen?" Well, God's going to bless you. I just think that God's going to come through for you. That you have a real walk with God, a real and an active faith where you follow the Lord. In conclusion tonight, are you what God is looking for in a Christian? Now, no one would say, "Oh, I've got a perfect faith, perfect love, a good conscience, nothing wrong there." But could you come before God and honestly say, "God, is there anything in my heart that's not right? Do I love you like I should?" Remember when Jesus came to Peter and said, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He asked him again and again, "Lord, why are you asking me?" Because his love wasn't right. Do you love God as you should? Is your conscience, your heart right with God as it should be? And then your faith. Do you have a sincere faith before the Lord? So you follow the Lord. That sound doctrine, it's a real faith. Like that faith will carry you through in your life. In this world, again, the world, the Lord wants to see real Christians and real faith. But number two, this world needs to see real Christians and a real faith. When people are going through trials and difficulties and stuff, they're looking for someone saying they're different. There's something different about their life. I want the faith that you have. There's something different about your life. God wants to see a Christian of real faith, but so does this world.